Welcome to our first attempt at a podcast called Faith and Hustle. My name is Garrett Baker.
I'm Brian Hollingsworth.
And I'm Sean Bryan.
And we're going to figure this thing out.
One step at a time.
One step at a time. This is the Habitual Toe Stepper episode, and I am a habitual toe stepper. So get ready to get your toes stepped on, boys.
I'm wearing my flip-flops.
Hey, it's going to hurt even worse then. I hope you don't have any ingrown toenails.
Let's talk about being a monster.
All right. Explain.
Should you be a monster? Should you be strong? Or should you be meek? Or should you be weak?
Meek.
Meek. I have a core value, and I go back to these a lot, but it is be bold before men, but meek before God.
Yeah. I mean, I get that. I get that. But when I say meek, so I think that people, like, I wish we had a way to look it up right now. I wish everyone would grab their phone and look up the definition of meek, because, like, there's not any cowardice in that definition, right? Oh, he got Webster's.
We're going to get the 1993 edition Webster's because it doesn't change with Google's pronouns.
Hey, here's a duck, duck, go plug.
Keep talking. I'm going to look.
All right.
I'm not very
but
smart.
No, so like I wish people would look up the definition more, because like I think there's a lot of strong human beings that have this thought process of that they have to be cowardice, or they have to like avoid conflict at every turn, and you know what I mean? And the only time that you can be aggressive is when you're protecting yourself or your family or anything like that. And that's a misinterpretation of the word.
Well, there it is. Let's see here. Don't. Oh, God, is anybody watching me take these glasses off so that I can see? That's humility, right? Oh, look at this. Oh, I'm going to get roasted for this one. Okay. Patient and mild, not showing anger or resentment. Two. Very humble or too humble in one's feelings and actions. Not showing spirit. I don't like that.
Stoic.
Okay. But I don't want to show... I don't want to show weakness. Or present to be weak.
You don't. Stoic. Being stoic isn't...
I like that first one better. Where it says, be patient and mild, not showing anger or resentment.
Yeah.
I like that one.
That's the biblical meek.
Patient and mild, not showing resentment.
Yeah.
1993.
Yeah. I struggle with being meek, but...
but okay, no. So I can be patient. I can be mild.
Yeah.
I can not show my resentment.
Yeah, exactly. But I'll show you disdain.
Can also choke you out.
Yeah, but no. So it's that. But there is a misinterpretation of it, right? Like there's people that think that it's cowardice and it's like
humility. I think it was C.S. Lewis. I think C.S. Lewis said that humility is not thinking less of yourself; it's thinking of yourself less.
Yeah.
And a modern-day interpretation of that is there is a plague of anxiety and depression in our world. And it's sad. And everything's, you know, but before COVID, everything was back during the depression conversation, right? Remember that? Yeah. I haven't heard. The flu is gone since COVID, and talk of the Great Depression has disappeared.
Yeah.
It's just lost in our vocabulary. But everything is dated around that world event called the Wu Flu.
Yes.
And so the the Wu Flu. The anxiety, depression, and I don't know why. I truly don't know why.
Yeah.
But where's that coming from? It's raised its ugly head since COVID. And so saying that, when we're humble, it doesn't mean we're downing ourselves and we're making ourselves less than. You can stand on that podium and win the race.
You should.
Or win the UFC fight and still be humble about it.
100%.
Could absolutely destroy somebody physically and be humble.
Usually a winner is humble about it because they understand the work it took. You know what I mean?
I do.
There's very few people on this planet that are just physically gifted and can go out and win a world championship in anything without putting in the work, right?
So what's more dangerous, a trained combat vet with a weapon or somebody that doesn't have any training at all and doesn't want to have a weapon in their home? What is more dangerous to their family?
To their family, the person that has no training of the weapon and
no weapons.
And no weapons.
Because that makes them vulnerable and weak. So
it's better to have a gun and not need it than to need a gun and not have it.
You know, that's a gun argument.
Yeah.
But a gun is just a tool of protection.
It's better to have the skill set and not need it than to need the skill set and not have it.
So if we're talking about being weak versus strong, okay, so here's the topic, and here's what brought this podcast on. If you train yourself to be a strong person, man or woman, and you've been through hardship, you've been through literal fights, real fights, you've gone through really hard times, and you've learned the ability to be humble and meek, which means I have the ability to be harsh. I have the ability to attack you. I have the ability to use words to hurt you. I have the ability to attack you. And I choose not to, even though you're insulting me. I'm much stronger because I have the ability to do it and choose not to. As opposed to somebody who is meek and mild and well-tempered, nice guys. Nice guys always finish last, right? You've heard that?
I have.
And you know why? Let's get into it a little bit. It's because they haven't gone through the hardships. They haven't been tested by fire. They don't have the ability to protect and be strong. So nice is a puppy is nice. It's a great defense mechanism, but it's a bluff.
Yeah.
So let's step on some toes here.
So when I think of someone that has had zero resistance in their life or they haven't had any struggles, I think of like a trust fund baby, you know what I mean? That's kind of like a jerk that, you know what I mean? Like that, they haven't had the resistance. They haven't had the failures. They haven't had those things, and they think that no one should ever fail. Those guys aren't dangerous to me.
They're not. They're charlatans.
Because
I would argue that they are few and far between.
Yes.
We talk about those trust fund babies a lot. Like, I haven't met a lot of them. I've met some children of very wealthy men that I had a lot of respect for, and I've met some children of very wealthy men that had destroyed their lives. I haven't seen a lot of in between. I don't meet that trust fund baby a lot.
Yeah.
I just don't meet them. No, I mean, this is my experience.
Yeah.
We talk about them a lot.
Yeah.
Like they're out there.
But they are. There's people that come from success. They don't even have to be the trust fund baby, right? But they're successful people that. But sometimes they are good people, right? There's good people that don't have a lot of resistance in their life, and good for them. Like, God bless them. But I pray for them the day that they finally find that resistance or they have that hardship in their life that makes them question everything. I would rather have that from the inception. Like when you started your business when you were 20 years old, right? Like that was
we did a whole podcast about that. If I could start over knowing what I know now. I mean, that's an entire podcast.
Yeah. It was a terrible good idea. You know, I stole your analogy for this other podcast that I was on because I was like, man, he said it's like having a small business is like riding the line. It looks cool to everybody else, but you're just trying to figure out how to get off it without it eating you, you know?
Exactly.
Those guys, good for them, right?
Yeah,
that's
great.
But I would rather be with guys that stuck with something when everybody else would have quit, because that's really where success truly comes from, is that consistency in the turds. You know what I mean? Like when you're dredging through the shit, I couldn't think of any other words.
That's what it is.
Yeah, like when you're dredging through those times.
It's not honey.
Yeah, they're like when you are in it waist deep, and you're like, how you have to rely on your inner circle and God.
So there's a we talked about this. There's a second curse of the second generation or the third generation, right? That first guy is a farm hand, grew up rough or grew up in the streets, and he had to make it, and mm-hmm. he struggled, and he set his son up for success. And now we're 50-50. That second generation is either going to smell it all,
yeah.
smell all the white powder, and blow daddy's money,
yeah.
or he's going to turn into something really well. And then he's going to have children. So now we got the third generation. The third generation has never experienced and hasn't even smelled the streets,
yeah.
the stench of the sewer in the inner cities, or the smell of the shit in the cow
field.
Yeah. yeah, in the cow field. And he's never even smelled it. He yeah. doesn't know what he wouldn't know it if it was literally sitting on his plate to eat it. He yeah. wouldn't even know what it was. That guy's in trouble.
Yes.
So whose fault is it? Is it his fault or is it his leadership's fault? But this go back to, can you create that strength in a great environment? So I personally have a lot of respect for that second or third generation of a, I might even have more respect for them than the guy that did, had his back against the wall and didn't have a choice.
Yeah.
I've burned bridges behind me and not had a choice but to succeed.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's actually pretty easy.
Yeah.
That's a default. That's a defense mechanism. You can't back up. You have to win.
Yeah, go forward, yeah.
That's easier than having the choice.
That's true.
And then let's take another generation past that. So that third generation's got to do what? I mean, look at Robert Downey Jr. He's yeah. an actor, love him or hate him. He went through some hard times. He had yeah. to figure it out on his own, and he went from a good actor
to a great actor
to horrible hardship,
yeah.
rehab, everything else, to one of the best actors yeah. that have ever been on film. Yeah. Love him or hate him, he's the man. Hardship
yeah.
creates strength. Now, would you say that he has some strength and toughness the second round versus the first round?
Absolutely. No, and that I think that's a beautiful thing in those people that do come from those blessed environments that they do. They get burnt by the fire, right? Because their eye might be taken off of the ball. And I think generationally you might – it's okay to break generational curses, right? But we shouldn't ever – From a generational standpoint, we should never forget where we came from. We can't forget what built us into like who we become, right? Especially when success comes from it. Now, if success isn't birthed from it, I'm not gonna say you need to like anybody that's out there that might be doubting, you know, or not doubting, but looking at their situation and saying, "Look, I'm in this environment, and it's restricting my growth," or you know. If everyone around you has bad habits and you have to change those habits, or you're looking for that out or that way or that inspiration, right? You might have to be the generational inspiration. You might have, everyone has the right to be the first generation.
Yeah, for sure. Like yeah. make, you know, try. Yeah, I agree. And, you know, you get to pick your hard, choose yeah. your hard. So we find ourselves in a relatively comfortable environment on our planet.
Yeah. And I think that's where depression comes from, is because it's too easy.
It's too easy. I agree with that. I completely agree with that.
Yeah.
Where's the struggle? Where's the struggle today?
The struggle. You want to? It's a damn shame that we're in a time where, like my struggle, like my biggest struggle right now is my weight. You want to know why?
Like, you ain't starving.
And that's the problem. Is that like my struggle is. And sometimes I sit around because when you leave the country and you see that people aren't wasteful, then you realize how wasteful we are as Americans, like in terms of food and all that other stuff. Like, but it's not even like I struggle with eating things of no, like that have no sustenance. Like I love junk food. What did I bring over here?
Well, I brought cookies yeah. and you brought chocolate covered cookies.
I brought chocolate covered s'mores and hummus. And what have I eaten more of?
Yeah, that's right. I haven't touched any of it.
The chocolate covered s'mores. But that's my struggle. You get what I'm saying? So
now, the only reason I didn't touch it is because I just left the restaurant before we came here.
But the struggles of our grandparents and things of that nature was survival. right?
For sure.
Like, their work was hard. They toiled, right? And now with technology, it physically it's not hard, so mentally it's hard, right?
So how do we cheat the system?
Exercise.
Exercise. Okay, that's a good one.
No, seriously.
No, let's talk about it.
Yeah. Exertion.
Set cup. You're not.
I'm not an Iron Man.
You're not an Iron Man.
Yeah, I'm not. And that's one thing I won't. I already like let my mouth overload my.
Mm-hmm.
I got to get to CrossFit. Gym. Yeah.
You wrote me into that crap. Too.
I did. Yeah. So, but it's after his Iron Man. So I have a few weeks. Sure. A
couple weeks.
Yeah.
And then we're going to go back to jiu-jitsu.
Oh, I didn't say anything about jiu-jitsu there. I didn't agree to that one either.
Well. First class is free.
Yeah, that's how they get you, man. Like, I'm not a like go in there and get my butt whooped kind of guy, right? Like, if I go in there and get choked out 15 times, like that dude that choked me out is like,
I want to take away any consideration. There's no if about it.
Yeah, well, no,
you're going to get choked out.
Yes, and I know what it's going to do in my brain, and the next thing you know, I'm addicted to jiu-jitsu.
Yes,
and like,
it's pretty much what happened to me.
Yeah. I don't like losing. So to go into, that's why my nose is crooked. Literally, early 20s, stopped at a boxing gym. Seriously.
Well, so you're in the pursuit of supplementing your life with things that are hard.
I love it. I love something that's hard. I don't want it to be easy. I will create a mountain.
Yeah.
It's a terrible thing. Like, I will. I don't like conflict, but I love a challenge.
Okay, so what does that breed in you? What's the result of you chasing hard things? What has that done for you?
It's made me more resilient, and it's made me be able to identify who I need to have around me.
Okay, so there we go. There's a old African proverb, if you want to go fast, go alone.
Yeah.
If you want to go far, go with many.
Yeah.
So you put people around you, you help, and you're identifying those people. Okay.
Yeah. But that's, you know, like it lets me know like I got to have people that can face the hard. You get what I'm saying? Look, there's plenty of things in my life that I've quit, and I haven't ever quit them in the beginning. It was something that I gave consistent effort to. And then when I got to a certain point and I realized, okay, I'm this close to reaching my goal if I continue this. But this adds no value to me.
Is that quitting or is that eliminating stuff out of your life that shouldn't be there?
I mean, that might have been a counseling moment, Jim, right there, where I can relinquish some of the guilt for like saying, okay, I don't want to do that anymore, right? But
I've had to deal with that. I'm staring at a bicycle right now that I'm fixing to drop another 107 hours on that torture device. And
it's a cool looking bike, though.
No, it looks cool. It does not feel cool when it's up amongst your undercarriage.
Yeah.
And that half inch wide seat for 7 hours.
There's no padding.
You know,
where does your taters go on that little bitty seat?
They kind of hang off the front.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it ain't good. After about 4 hours. I don't know why they put the back 8 inches on that 9-inch seat. That's where you live for about 7 hours. And that's the most comfortable part of the whole thing.
Yeah.
Everything else. But my point is, I'm looking at it. I'm going, do I want to pull my shoes off and set them at the finish line on number seven and go find something new to do? Because I did that.
Yeah.
Or am I a quitter? Now, am I a quitter if after 7 Ironmans, I don't go back to it?
No, you're not. You accomplished what you set out.
But I didn't do 8.
Yeah, but
I mean, I just did this and was 6. Probably my last one. Here I'm doing number 7.
I think if you do 1, you're good.
But no, and forget about that race. Yeah. Take that pride out of it for a second, because that might be all it is for me at this point is pride. But I'm punishing myself for that. I tell you what I like to do. I like to do something hard every year.
Yeah.
Something big every year. Last year I did it, an ultra marathon. Oh, we did what?
You said hard and big. I said balls.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yes, sir. The sun has set on our day.
No, so you have to have a challenge.
Got to have a challenge. And I want to do something that really pushes me every year. And I'm having to come to terms with, I kind of cracked the code on it. I mean, this sounds arrogant, But it's humility at work. I cracked that code.
Yeah.
I can do an Ironman. It's my heart.
Yeah.
It's my understanding. How is it making me better to do the same thing over and over? Maybe I need to find something harder or new and learn a new skill. Because I got that figured out and I'm really literally spinning my wheels.
Yeah.
Riding a bicycle for 6 months. For what purpose?
Yeah.
So if I'm not gaining or growing out of that, maybe I need to find a new hard.
Yeah.
A different hard.
Maybe those ultra marathon things.
I did that too.
Did you?
Maybe something else. I don't know. So it's artificial. It's artificial. You know how we get to do that? You know how we get to go to a gym and work out? Because we don't have to bale hay.
Yeah.
We don't have to throw hay bales.
100%. Yeah. No, and that's the bad thing about it is the society, the more successful we become, the more, what's the word, sedentary?
Where you sit sedentary.
Yeah.
And yeah, there's another example of that, you know, you work out, and then what do? You find yourself sitting around more than somebody that doesn't work out.
Yeah.
What's the net result? Is it worth it? I'm going to go back to there needs to be a real vision or mission behind, and a purpose. Purpose might be the better word as to why we do something.
Yeah.
What's the purpose behind it? Why are we doing this?
True.
So if you decide to quit doing something, I'm agreeing with you completely that you decided that that doesn't benefit your life anymore. Doesn't necessarily make you a quitter.
Yeah, but I didn't replace it with anything productive. And that's something that I do have a lot of stuff going. Like I have a lot of things, like organizations I'm involved with. My weeks are pretty busy. There's a lot of things that I do, right? But there's no excuse for the things that I don't do. And it, like I'm at an age where I understand that I really have to take care of my body if I want to make it to a buck 20. You get what I'm saying? Which I don't think I'll make it to.
Yeah, don't do that. Please don't.
Yeah, like, I would love to be able to see, because I made the best mistakes of my life was having children at a young age, right? So I already have.
Yeah.
Like, so I get to see two generations in one, you know what I mean? We have three generations in one room. I think that if I take care of my body, I could get to see five.
Absolutely.
You know
absolutely.
What I mean?
I love this, and this is a physical thing. I know people that, Winston Churchill might be an example.
Yeah.
They cut him open after he died, did an autopsy. That dude drank port, and I think he drank two bottles of champagne and ate sausage and eggs.
For breakfast.
I mean, yeah, for breakfast.
He was awesome.
Yeah, and he was just, his constitution as a man is never before been matched. And hard times make strong people.
Yeah.
Right? There's an argument about Winston Churchill. Had he not filled those shoes, somebody else might have. Also an argument that had he not filled those shoes, we'd all be speaking German right now.
Yeah.
Which was it? I don't have that answer.
Yeah.
But they cut him open on the autopsy table and his liver looked great.
Yeah.
Well, and there's not a lot of Winston Churchills out there.
Yeah. He was an anomaly.
If I can extend, not necessarily my life by 20 years, live to have 80 good years instead of 60 good years, what can I do in that last 20 years with all the knowledge I've gained? For the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
For my family. What can I pass on? I'm effective if I take care of what we call God's temple. What we've been taught is the temple of God, which is our body, and not abuse it. So there's an argument to take for health, to take care of yourself. Not necessarily that you're going to extend a lot of years, but the quality of those years.
Exactly. If I don't have the quality, I don't want the time.
Yeah, sitting around watching John Wayne drinking Bud Light is not.
Yeah.
I mean, who cares if you live 50 years? You're not contributing at all. Yeah. You're not doing God's work. You're not.
I can tell guys that are like doing it and in the game, you know, of life.
Yeah.
By how much free time they have.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because there was something my dad told me when I was young, 20s. He was like, look, man, because it was that stretch, like mid-20s, where it was before that OSHA 13-in-1 rule, right? So I'm working in the refineries and on my tools and stuff. And there was a couple of years where I might have had 7 to 10 days off a year.
Yeah, those mid to late 20s, when you've got kids at home, you're just trying to survive.
Yeah, and that's what
for rough years.
I told him, I was like, man, you know, he was like, hey, look, you can be busy or you can be broke, you know? And now, like, I applied that to my life, and now I realized, though, that I could have been busy doing other things. I could have bet on myself at a younger age, right? I could have been busy failing, you know? And in a sense, I have failed into success. We all have. right?
Yeah. Well, to our current.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I don't know anyone that ever, even if someone, the guys that I know that sell their businesses like to for you know those big leagues, I know that a lot of those guys are like, man, that's why they all get back in the game. Because they know what they did wrong. Yeah.
I sold March 15th will be 2 years.
Yeah.
And I lasted about, 4 hours. My wife said, you really need to leave and go find another job. I think I just sold the business at lunchtime. Yeah. You know, we sold it. I went to eat lunch and then I come home. She's like, well, you need to go do something else.
Yeah.
Because you can't, this is not going to work. Yeah. And I didn't make it till 5 o'clock. So. I didn't sell it for that big lick either.
Yeah, but. Yeah. You said it was a good lick, though.
It was a lick. I got licked.
Yeah.
I promise you that. I got licked.
But that's what I'm saying, though, is that, like, those guys all get back in the game. It's not a – man, if I have my day is a slow day. I tell people all the time, I'm the worst person to give one thing to do.
Idle hands are the devil works. Is the devil's workshop.
If I have – I need a punch list. I need a 100-item punch list, and I'll be the most effective – you know what I mean?
Oh, so you're a taskmaster? You just do.
Well, no, I have to put it on paper.
I'm messing with you. Yeah, same thing. Yeah.
Yeah, and I'll execute that. But if I literally, like, there's sometimes where you run into those days if you really do work hard. You're gonna run into those days where there's not much that you can do, because at that point you become annoyed.
So let me ask this question. We're kind of going back to the beginning of this. You've had hardship.
Oh yeah.
If we got busted back to the Stone Age, could you protect your family?
Hell yeah.
Could you provide for them?
Absolutely.
We don't get busted back to the Stone Age. Some dude walks through that door and starts talking trash. Do you have the control to not fight that battle?
Yeah.
And does that make you weak to stand there and let that little knothead talk trash and you not pop him?
No. No.
It doesn't make you weak, or does it make you strong?
I guess in a sense it makes me.
It's going to make you one or the other. You're either going to grow or shrink from that experience.
Well, I'm not going to shrink from it. I'm going to know who he is for future references. You know what I mean? When I catch him in that dark alley and nobody's around, I'm going to knot him up. But in public, I'm not going to touch him.
Yeah, because it might compromise your ability to protect. You know, well, we keep talking about John Wayne, but John Wayne could pop somebody in the face, and he was praised for it. Today, if you clock somebody, it's assault, and you're going away for 10 to 20 years, and then they're going to see you for So
I would just let him. I'd let him make it. Like if it's not a direct threat, like, and you know what I mean. There's no physical.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Not bothering me.
Yeah, because if they were really going to do something, they would do it.
That's right.
Like, and the beautiful thing of it is Louisiana is a mutual combat.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, yeah. And I think constitutional carry is a thing now, too, here. So all of that to be said is that having the ability to handle your business and choosing when you do that and when you don't, I feel is a strength.
Absolutely. And it's a superpower.
I think it is. I think it makes you stronger to have the ability as opposed to never having those hardships. And let's go back to if you're raised with the proverbial silver spoon in your mouth, there's lots of opportunities to create those hardships and to create some strength in your life. And that's some advice I would give my son, my daughter. If you don't have anything hard in your life,
find some.
Don't sit around and be stressed out and anxious and depressed because my God, I'm sorry. There's kids out there that are freaking out right now and they literally can do nothing and survive.
Yeah.
And what are you stressed out and anxious about? You've never even experienced anything hard. Well, to them, when the internet goes out, that's as damaging to them.
Yeah. Well, no.
As us losing our job, it is that. Yeah, difficult.
It's an end all be all to them. But those guys.
I know. I don't want to underestimate that. Emotionally and psychologically, it is just the same amount of hard to them because that's the hardest they've ever done.
That's a struggle. You know what I mean? Like I find that not relatable. Like that hardship, I don't find that relatable. Like, and I know that that sounds like I'm insensitive, but like there's some arguments that we have as a society and some things that people cry about that are they should never became a social issue. You get what I'm saying? Like, but it's the fact that we. I remember being young and hearing like a lot of boomers say, "Oh, your generation is going to be the generation to ruin the you know what I mean? This y'all are going to destroy this country. That damn rap music and all this other stuff, right?" We actually are the generation that has to save this country from the generation before us and the generation below.
You know what? That current generation is going to say the same thing.
No, I don't think they don't care enough.
Oh, something's going to make them care.
Yeah.
Hey, let's look at that same generation and go put them in Israel right now fighting for their country and their life.
Well, dude, that's what, like, I mean, you take...
They didn't wake up in that world.
Yeah. Well, that's what... It's simple to see that it's too easy in society here because, like, take fighters, for instance. Like, the United States used to be the hub of everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you put an American guy in a room with a Dagestani or in a
anything
cage,
that ends in Stan.
Yeah, anything that ends in Stan. Yeah. And, like, if they have that funny hat, that furry hat, like,
oh yeah,
if I see those guys, I'm always like, okay, which round is he gonna knock him out in?
They're a 35 year old guy. No, he's not 35. He's 17. He just grew up in Russia.
Yeah.
He put vodka in his bottle.
He's been drinking vodka and chain smoking since he was 12.
Yeah,
and that's a different. But there are people, there's people in the world, but that's what I worry about in the United States is, like, do we still have those environments that are hard? Because that's where the best leaders come from.
So I would argue that we do. There's some that are out there. I think they're embracing technology differently than we would. Because I would argue that there is. And I'm on the edge of being old and young. I was taking my glasses off so that I could read the dictionary because I'm nearsighted and, you know. So I'm on that edge of middle age. It doesn't get any more middle aged than us, Garrett. Yeah. But we could go either way. If we're hanging around old people, we're good. If we're hanging around young people, we can youthen up a little bit.
We're in that stage where our friend, like some of us are becoming grandparents, and the ones that make terrible decisions are having babies. You know,
terrible decisions.
I have a friend that's like, I'm a grandpa, but I do know guys that are having uh-oh moments right now in their life.
Cameron just died.
Oh, man.
Oh, well.
I guess we got to wrap that one up.
Stick
a fork in her. She's done.
She's done.
Hope
she's
your toes done. Got stepped on. That's my
I don't
word.
Know that we offered a lot of solutions. But, you know, two dudes talking about whether or not we should be tough or not.
Yeah.
I think you don't have a choice. If you're going to survive in this world, you're probably going to toughen up at some point.
Yeah. Well, if you're going to be successful, you have to be tough. But you know what I mean? You either have to be stupid or you have to be tough.
What's that old saying? If you're going to be dumb, you got to be tough.
Yeah. If you're going to be dumb, boy, you better be tough.
Yeah, and there's another one that I've heard it said two ways. The old Arab sheikh that says, my grandfather rode camels. My dad
drove a Range Rover.
I
drove a Mercedes.
I have a driver.
Yeah.
And fly in private jets. And my grandchildren will ride camels.
Yeah.
And there's an American saying that says, hard times, weak times make hard people. Hard people make good peaceful times, easy times, and easy times make weak people. And, you know, if we look at our generation, you know, the greatest generation, it fought in World War II. And
our generation,
their children fought in Vietnam, and that we didn't win that one. We just quit. You know, we made a lot of money as a government, but we kind of moved on. And then
all our friends fought in
Iraq, Afghanistan, and you know, they weren't worshipped the way World War II was. They're not considered the greatest generation, but they fought for something that mattered.
Yeah.
Right now, it ain't looking good.
Yeah.
It ain't looking good but the flip side of it is we're going to be all right.
God's got
to put God first. And election, whoever comes out on top of this election, we're going to have to adapt, overcome, and trust God, whoever comes out.
Yeah.
It's just now you're going to have to make decisions one way or the other.
Yeah.
But whoever comes out, we're going to be all right.
But that's the key to it all, is putting God first.
Put God first. And then do your part.
Show up for the battle.
Yeah.
Show up.
That's it.
All right. Faith and Hustle Podcast out.
Peace out.
Hey, and before we go, if anybody has an idea, if we struck a chord with anybody about a topic that you may want us to discuss, feel free to comment in the below and just let us know. We'd love to have your feedback.